When I was a kid, my sister and I used to spend a couple weeks at my grandma's house in the summer, along with our two older cousins, Jimmy and Teddy. Teddy was the oldest of us all. I'll always remember one day when a window was broken in grandma's house. I wasn't worried because I knew I had not broken it. But when dinner time came, grandma set the food down in front of us, and I can still almost smell it. Then she told us, "When the person who broke my window confesses, we can all eat." Then she turned to my cousin Jimmy and said, "Now, Jimmy, when you're ready to confess, we can all eat." Then she swiftly left the room. Teddy began prodding Jimmy. "Come on, Jim, just confess already so we can eat." Jimmy refused. He was adamant that he did not break that window. Some time passed. Then Teddy leaned over to my sister and I and said, "I bet a squirrel broke that window, but I'm going to confess so that we can all eat." We thought Teddy was a hero. Many years later, we were reminiscing about old times, and we recalled that day. Then Teddy told us, "You guys know that I was the one who broke that window all along, right?" What had happened here? Jimmy had been wrongly accused. When things go wrong in our world, who is typically accused? Many ask, "God, why did you do this?" Or, "God, why did you allow this? If you are good, why is there so much evil in this world?" So where is God when we cry out in suffering? Does he hear our prayers? If God is all-powerful, he would possess the power to eliminate all evil. If God is entirely good, God would want to do so. Why then is there evil and so much of it? The most common answer to this problem of evil is free will. God grants free will to creatures, which is necessary for love. Sadly, some use their free will to do things that God does not want, that is, to do evil. If God grants free will consistently, which again is necessary for love, then it is not up to God whether you or anyone else does evil. Now, God only wants good things, but evil occurs because creatures will contrary to what God wants. Evil, then, is the result of creatures misusing free will. Now, the vast majority of even trained philosophers now recognize that this solves the basic problem of evil. But what about evil occurrences that it seems God could prevent without undermining free will? For instance, it seems like God could prevent a plane crash due to mechanical failure simply by providing a message of warning to a mechanic or to the pilot, or otherwise averting the disaster without undermining anyone's free will. There must then be more to the story. Scripture sets forth a wider framework, a cosmic conflict. I explain this framework much more in my book, Why We Pray: Understanding Prayer in the Context of Cosmic Conflict. Jesus told a parable of a man who sowed good seed in his field. What kind of seed? Good seed. "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares." Tares are noxious weeds. "And he sowed these tares among the wheat and went his way. When the grain sprouted, the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?'" That sounds very much like the question people ask today about God. Didn't God create the world entirely good? Why then is there evil in it, and so much of it? Notice the landowner's reply: "An enemy has done this." We do not have to guess who this enemy is. Later, Jesus explains this parable to his disciples and identifies the enemy as the devil. Now, the devil was created as a sinless angel, only good. But he chose to rebel against God, and he fell and brought evil to our world. An enemy has done this. But to this answer, the servants ask further, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" In other words, if an enemy has sown these noxious weeds, why not just uproot them? This is similar to another question that people often ask today: Why doesn't God simply use his power to uproot evil now? No, the landowner replies, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Somehow, prematurely uprooting the tares would result in much wheat also being uprooted, an unacceptable level of collateral damage. This manifests that somehow, if God were to uproot evil prematurely by force, then good would also be uprooted. There would be far too much collateral damage. The tares, then, must be allowed to grow together with the wheat temporarily. Evil must be allowed to run its course for a time so that God can finally eradicate the tares once and for all in a way that won't uproot the wheat also. This parable is one of many biblical depictions of the cosmic conflict between Christ and the devil, who is called the great dragon and serpent of old, who deceives the whole world. In this conflict, God often gets blamed for evil. But the devil is actually the one who sows the seeds of evil in this world. The enemy, ruler of this world, as Jesus calls him, who wages war against God's kingdom. Why does the world look like a war zone? Because it is one. This world is part of a cosmic war, which helps us understand why it often looks like evil reigns in our world. In short, there is an enemy ruler in this world at war against God and his people. Of this, C.S. Lewis once wrote, "One of the things that surprised me when I first read the New Testament seriously was that it talked so much about a dark power in the universe, a mighty evil spirit who was held to be the power behind death and disease and sin. Christianity thinks this dark power was created by God and was good when he was created and went wrong. This universe is at war, and it is a civil war, a rebellion, and we are living in a part of the universe occupied by the rebel. Enemy-occupied territory, that is what this world is." We can have hope, however, because this is only temporary. There is good news. The devil only has a short time. Through his victory at the cross, Christ legally defeats the devil's slanderous allegations. And even now he works in the heavenly sanctuary, and one day soon will return to fully uproot the devil's kingdom once and for all. In the meantime, we all have a choice as to which kingdom we will belong to. Will we follow Christ and his way of unselfish love, or the enemy, the devil, and his way of selfish evil? Place your confidence in the Lord of love. He will never let you down.